Confidence. Parthesia in the Greek tongue. It means assurance, to be able to speak out boldly, and kind of assurance. Okay? Now, if you lose your confidence, you're just about to lose everything. Okay? You're going to start doubting even yourself. And after you doubt yourself a while, well, pretty soon you'll start maybe even doubting the Father. And that's when you really get in deep. Okay? So confidence is very, very important. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Basically, what builds confidence is to know you're right. So what you believe and what you absorb, you want to make certain that it is right. Parthesia. That is to say, to have assurance, to know. How do we do that? From the Word of God. Not man, but from our Father and from His Word. We learn whether we're right or whether we're wrong. And if you're wrong, hey, get it right. Get together. Repent. And that's our forgiveness is one of the greatest things of Christianity. Is that and one of the things, you know, we have to realize is God loves His children. And thank God we got Mother's Day coming up. And you know, we have to really appreciate mothers, and we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for mothers. You know, they kind of bring us into this world, and I'm sure maybe sometimes they might say, "Lord, can I take this one back for another one?" No, you know, thank God mothers are not like that. They grab it, I don't care what it looks like, but it's mine. It at least has pretty teeth. No, mothers are just really fantastic people, you know. So, with Mother's Day's coming, confidence should be built, okay? I'm throwing that in because we're not going to meet on Mother's Day, okay? And I feel I owe it to mothers. I'm partial to them. I always have been, okay? They're sweethearts, real sweethearts. So, in this, let's make sure we are right, so that we can honor, and like, there are a lot of people in the world, you want to love your brother. You may not like what he's doing, but that's the beauty of Christianity. We try to help people if they wish to be helped. If they don't, hey, that's fine. Let them drift. Let them drift in the wind till they learn better and kind of want a little help, and then always be anxious to do that. That's what family is about, is helping each other. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the first epistle of John, kind of right before the book of Revelation, Jude and Revelation. The first epistle of John, we're going to pick it up in chapter 3, and let's analyze what it is that we're supposed to have confidence in. And we'll pick it up as you're turning there, with verse 7. You were told in verse 4 what sin is. Sin is when you transgress the law. And the law of what? The law of God, of course. And let's pick it up in verse 7, if we may, and it reads, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." In other words, you can tell by looking at somebody. Let's take preachers for a minute, okay? What is a preacher supposed to do? Teach the Word of God. It would seem like some think they're supposed to be beggars. And that's all you're ever going to hear from them is beg, beg, beg. Okay. They never quite get around to teaching the Word of God. So can you be deceived? I don't think so. I think you know and can recognize the real thing. And when it is a person, you can tell when their righteousness simply means doing what's right, okay? Using common sense, good old horse sense, and doing what's right. And if somebody's doing what's right, well, that's fine. That's wonderful. He's a righteous person. Verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Because why? Sin is of the devil. "For the devil sinneth from the beginning." That means in the first earth age even. He committed the sin at the Capitol, the fall, his fall. For this purpose, for what purpose? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was sent that he might destroy the works of the devil. Naturally, in the first earth age, Satan did rebel. He was the cherubim that covereth. Ezekiel 28 documents that. You know, and when you do documentaries, you go out and dig in the fossils and so forth, you can prove it. Okay. You can prove the first earth age. That's no problem. These Bible thumpers that will tell you this earth is only 6,000 years old are ignorant. Okay. Because the earth is millions of years old. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and that is true. It doesn't say when the beginning was, other than beginning. And that was long, long ago. And when Satan rebelled, it was for the purpose that he brought sin into the world that God sent his Savior. So we got a way out, okay? So we have the truth. So we have the way. And not only did he send him, but he gave us power over evil spirits, over that that is negative, over the work of the devil. And he expects us to utilize that, especially if you have confidence. Now, I'm always telling you, I don't like wimps. Don't want anything to do with them necessarily until they can begin to shape up. And that you're a can-do type person. That's what you should be if you have the Word of God. That's confidence. And it is for that reason that I try to drill that into you. That you are a can-do person. What? You're a child of God. Walking this earth, you are a child of God. Act like it. I mean, let the Spirit be in you so strong that when you walk in the room, they know. You don't have to say it, that a child of God was there. And that's how the Word spread. That's why he sent the Son. It's because Satan messed up in the beginning, and he is sin. Let's continue on, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his sin remaineth, his seed rather, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In other words, he has the desire. It's not to say you're not going to sin, but we're talking here about habitual, okay, and habitual sinner. You know what that means? That means he just don't care. Okay. Could care less. That is an habitual sinner. But once you see the saving hand of Almighty God for having sent that Son, at least you try. You try to do what's right. You try to be a decent citizen. Okay. Why? Because you have confidence in Him and hopefully in self. That's good that you have confidence in yourself because it documents that you're a believer of Almighty God, okay? Verse 10, in this, the children of God are manifest. You can tell one when you are around them by talking to them for a little bit. And the children of the devil. So we got two different peoples here. I want you to be aware of that. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. In other words, your brother can be the biggest flop in the world, but you want to help him and you're praying for him, you're hoping he comes around. Okay. You may even push him away from you for a while, hoping he'll grow up. Still your brother. And you love him even when he's down and out. Paul even loved one enough that was having an incestuous affair with his father's wife that he said, let him go to the devil. When he gets all the way to the bottom, he'll finally look up and want to see a little daylight and maybe we can save him. Okay. Sometimes you have to do that. That's common sense. And that's the way our Father operates, okay? So we got two different types here. This is why you want to be sure you're in a church that teaches concerning the Kenites. Those are the children of the devil, okay? Sons of Cain. Why? Verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That means chapter 1, book of Genesis, that we should love one another. 12. Not as Cain. who was of that wicked one. Do you know why? That's progeny, friend. He was the son of the wicked one. Okay. And slew his brother. Where did that ominousness and murder come from in his heart? From his father, Satan. Okay. The serpent in the garden wasn't a snake, friend. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. In other words, when it came time to show off, they were twins, incidentally. They came to the age of accountability at the same time. Abel produced a really nice gift to God. Well, Cain couldn't operate from the soil because the soil was cursed to him. It is to this day. And he had some scrawny old fruit, and God told him, said, your countenance is bad and you look bad, ultimately, because he had done bad. He murdered his brother. So you don't do that, okay? And it then continues, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. If you're doing exactly what's right, don't worry, you're going to get some flack, okay? But you know something? So what? Your blessings are such, and God prospers those that follow him. You've got it, they don't. They just wish they had it. Okay. Because God loves you. When you pray, when you work for God, he's going to pay you, okay? But the pay comes after the work. A lot of people don't understand that. Okay. In other words, serving God is taking care of your family, okay? Providing for your family. And so it is. That's part of serving God. And God blesses that. He loves it when you take care of your family, okay? So don't marvel if there's a few. You don't have to please the whole world, because Satan's spirit is in it and some of his children. So you sure don't necessarily want to please them. And I'm always with an open mind. My high, the height of teaching is to convert one of his. Okay, just, I mean, rob a Kenite right out of his nest and make a child of God out of him. You know, that's a challenge, and I love it. I love every minute of it, okay? Have I accomplished that? You bet, okay? And not much, but some. Feels good. 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And we do care about our people. That's what patriotism is about in this nation. It's caring for our families and our people, our cities, our towns. And when you put your hand in your pocket and pull out the coin, in God we trust. What a fantastic thing. What a fantastic nation. Okay. 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know, now, this is why the murder that lies in wait and deliberately takes a life, listen to it, for you know that a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. In other words, God is the judge. And that's why God demands capital punishment. For not for a crime of passion. You gotta deal with the law here now. But if someone is just outright ornery and mean and lies in wait and premeditates, as it is written in Deuteronomy 19, and takes a life, God says, hey, I want them up here. Send them up here to me. And rape really has this, in the 20th chapter, I believe it is, has the same penalty if it's planned and deliberate. Okay, but that doesn't mean you can't find salvation, because God is the judge. God's going to have the trial. No one has ever gotten away with murder. They may think they have. The real trial is coming. And you don't fool him. He can even read your mind. See, he knows, and it's in the book. In the book of life. So, God, but that doesn't mean, again, we can't judge. We're not supposed to judge. That's one of the greatest sins there is. Father is the judge. He judges whether that person's going to hell, or if he can repent enough and apologize enough to the person he murdered, who knows what God will do, okay? That's not ours to decide. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you, oh, we got that one, okay? 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We are to live to have peace and peace of mind in the world. But whosoever hateth his, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, you know, I want you to really know something. The seed of truth is the most valuable thing in the world. That's how you help a brother, okay? In other words, you can give somebody a fish, but teach them how to fish, okay? And strange, I was coming into work, and there was an old boy that couldn't even afford a car, and he was walking up the old gravel hill, swinging a fishing pole, and I mean, he had a catch. Whew. He had I don't know how many fish on that string. He'd been fishing, and God blessed him. He caught made a good catch, okay? So you never know. When you're planting seeds, or when you're witnessing, or just when you live, and you're a can-do type person, people admire that. You know. How many people do you know that loves a wimp? Okay. How many people do you know that just loves to visit with a wimp? How you feeling today? Have you got an hour? It didn't take you that long. So, you know, serve God, and you're going to have trouble, okay? But don't let that be empty. I mean, deal with it. Take care of business. And do the hard stuff first. When you first get up in the morning, take care of whatever chore it is you've got to do. You're dreading the worst. And you know what? You'll find out it didn't amount to a hill of beans, probably. Because worry doesn't do you any good. Handle it. Do it. Take care of business. Be a can-do type person. Have confidence in yourself, okay? My little children, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's to stand beside, plan truth, teach people. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. In other words, assure yourself that you're doing right. What? Follow the word. Do as it says. Do what's right. And you know something? Well, how do I know for sure? Come off of that. You know what's right. And you know what's wrong. Okay? You can sense it. You can feel it. It's a natural thing. Okay? 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. In other words, God's able. Okay? If you repent and you ask for God's help, he's going to give it to you. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That's the word, confidence. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Does your heart condemn you? You know what you are. You see, you have the same advantage God does as far as you're concerned, because you can read your mind. In other words, you know what your mind is thinking. So does God. And if your heart is right, that means your mind, okay? It's not the old pump up here pumping blood. It's your mind. If it's right, and you know, then God loves you. And God can use you, okay? But there is that word, parkeia, for assurance, confidence, no doubting, can-do type person, get it done, loving God and the people, taking care of business. Now, I hope no one ever misunderstands me that you have to take junk off of people. You don't have to. God doesn't expect you to. All right. But take care of your own ground. All right. Take care of business. That's what a can-do person or a person with confidence is. Why? God gives you that right through his law. Okay. to protect your family, to provide for your family, and to bless your family. You can have that confidence. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, as best we can. I don't know anybody that's perfect that's walking the earth today. I'm knowing some that thought they were. But, you know, we come close, maybe. That's good. Try as hard as you can. When you fall short, say, Father. You see, because when you repent, God stamps that as perfect. Okay. He's proud of you for having tried. He knows you, okay? And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Get along, do the best you can, and have that confidence. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And the Holy Spirit is in you. That's why you recognize a Christian. You can feel it. Okay. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. That's to say, the Holy Spirit, of course. And that Holy Spirit looks out for you. Sometimes when you don't even know what to pray for, if you're one of God's elect, He intercedes in your life. He assists you. He helps you. He steers you. Why? You're trying. And you have confidence that what you're doing is right. So, you want to know who the devil's children are. That's important. That's why I brought you here. That should build you confidence. Does it say you should do something about it? No, we're instructed to leave the tares alone. Okay? But do know, don't let one take advantage of you. And recognize what they are doing or trying to do. And be a servant of God. Okay, let's take confidence just a little further. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews is simply a word that means, comes from the root in the Hebrew term of Eber, which means simply those that crossed over the river. What river? Euphrates. It's that bunch of people. Okay. So here we are in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Let's just pick it up, if we may, with verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Think about him. Do you realize he died for you? Are you with it? Well, that puts us on the spot. We're really not, but he did. And he didn't hold back. You know something? When he was delivered up, he didn't say, "Do you think we could put this off till tomorrow?" You know, he didn't whimper. And at his trial, he didn't open his mouth, as it was forecast and told prophetically 1,000 years before the fact. Okay? Exactly what would happen. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses, I mean, he was a child thrown in the Nile River, coasted down, picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, adopted by him, grew up in Pharaoh's house, led the people, and then tried to protect his own people, the Hebrews, and he got run out of Dodge for it. Okay? It wasn't literally Dodge, okay? And he met his wife in the land of the Kenites. The Kenites being the sons of Cain. That's all that Hebrew word means, okay? And God talked to him one time on the mountain and said, "You go get the people." And he gave him certain powers and authorities to do that. 3, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, Christ was, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. In other words, what is the house? When you read Revelation chapter 21, verses 21 through 24, you find out the eternal temple has no house. Why? Because the Father and the Son are the temple thereof. Okay? And that answers your question here if you're having trouble with it. For every house is builded by some man, But he that built all things is God. He made the timber that you build a house from. Okay. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of. Or that those things that were coming. He taught, he read the scriptures, Aaron helped him, the Levitical priesthood, his brother, verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, in other words, we are that house, we're the many-membered body of Christ, okay? If, now here comes a condition, okay? A lot of people like to look over these conditions. They claim it before they read the if, okay? Well, let's read the if. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. In other words, if you don't give up, if you don't weaken, you know, and so it is. This has nothing to do with the strength of the arm, but the strength of the spirit. You know, a handicapped person has a lot better witness than a person that isn't. More power and spirit. Why? Because an unbeliever, when they see a handicapped person witnessing, they say, hey, why would you do that? Look what he's done to you. He didn't do it. What a powerful witness that makes. Okay. So we're not talking about strength of arm here. We're talking about witness of Almighty God. Whereas, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice. And actually, this was Psalms 95, verse 7, which, make a side note, make a home study of it, because you'll learn something there. Today, any day, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Just as those people were throwing all their jewelry together and making a golden calf and having a sexual orgy out there in the desert. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Why? I didn't let them out of there. I let the whole bunch die there in the wilderness. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. A lot of people get all nervous about that, but I want you to think about how God looks at this. Here he had, they'd been in bondage, the family had, for 400 years. And God sent Moses and gave Moses the ability to perform miracles, opened the Red Sea. They witnessed the hand of God as they crossed over on dry ground, and then he drowned Pharaoh's troops. And then he took them on out into the wilderness and fed them manna from heaven, angels' food, and quail. When they were out where they couldn't help themselves, God helped them. And then for them to do this, you know, you haven't seen that. You didn't see the Red Sea open. You have enough faith to believe it, and that's why God honors you. He really loves you. This group did, and yet they disobeyed, and God said, I just don't have any use for them. They saw my hand. They saw the action. They saw the proof. He cut them off. Okay. So the point is, you can go just one day too long, okay, or one step too far. But our God does love his children, and quite frankly, I can see why he would let them destroy themselves. Maybe it was still, and that was a learning process for them, because who knows what will happen in the millennium, and you understand what I'm saying. Okay, and verse, let's say, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, and they didn't. 12, take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You want to watch that. That's a doubter, and that's one that does not have confidence. 13, but exhort, that means you talk it out one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, the glamour and the drawing of sin, and our boob tubes in these living rooms pouring sin right into a house. Talk about people getting rid of yeast out of their house at Passover leaven. And it's talking about sin, not bread, okay, necessarily. And they let it pour in. 14, here's why we came here. Listen carefully. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Don't ever let it weaken. Keep that confidence strong, the assurance, and know that, hey, what he's got waiting for you, not counting the blessings you have today, but what he has waiting for you there is just unmentionable. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't let your mind get real hardened, and as in the provocation, and say, I can't buy that. Well, you better, okay? For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. How many did? I mean, it's not only Caleb and Joshua. All the rest of them, I mean, they were having a party. And like I said, they'd seen the Red Sea open. They'd seen God's hand and still didn't believe. They deserved to die. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? He led it, okay? And to whom shall swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Today, if you hear his voice, I'm not having an altar call, okay? Don't do that. You do that in your own heart and mind. But always remember that. Well, how can I hear his voice? He wrote you this letter, the whole thing, giving you advice and counsel, telling you how to be very successful in whatever you choose. And there you have it, okay? It's his love to you. Today, if you hear his voice, that word hear is a little deeper than just hearing the Greek word phone, which is what the Greek word voice means. Phone. Where our telephone comes from, okay? But hearing means to hear with understanding, to know what it means. Go with me to chapter 10. This is where, as he said back in John, that he sent Christ. This is where Christ paid the whole price. Christ, get away. Don't ever let anyone convince you that circumcision or any blood sacrifice is necessary. It's sacrilegious. It's an affront to God. Okay. Why? Because God shed, through Christ, shed this blood one time. As Christ would say in this 10th chapter in verse 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book, this letter written to you. And instead of animals being bred and butchered and sacrificed, he sacrificed himself one time. He did it for you so that when you repent, he says, you're forgiven and I don't ever want to hear about it again. Don't ever bring it up to me again. You're forgiven. It doesn't exist. He blocked it from the book. Okay? So what a chapter this is. And I want to pick it up as the main in verse 12, speaking of Christ. But this man, that's to say Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice himself for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You understand Emmanuel, God with us, okay? So there he sits. But he paid the price, and sent us the Spirit, and gave us the roadmap to peace of mind, the Word of God. From henceforth, expecting or waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. Who's going to do that? Well, God's children are, okay, utilizing the power that he gives us through the Spirit. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. In the sight of God, it's covered, okay? Your sins are covered in him, in his blood. whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant, this is the contract that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, that's to say in their minds, and in their minds will I write them. And so it is, he has. Isaiah 54, if you want to make a side study when he said it. The New Testament is simply a copy of the old, the fulfillment, the first covenant, then this covenant. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Don't bring it up to him, okay? That's sacrilegious. If Christ says, I forgive you, and you bring it up again, what does that say? You didn't believe him. You are a doubter. You don't have confidence because you're still talking about it and it doesn't exist. That's something you've got to understand, the beauty and the height of Christianity is the forgiveness of sin. Now, where remission, or where it's forgotten, okay, translate remission as forgotten. Now, where it's forgotten of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't exist. You got it? Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Do you know that? You know what this word boldness is in the Greek? Parthasia. Okay? The same as confidence. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What happened when Christ died on that cross? The Holy of Holies, the old high priest, is about to enter. Okay? And God rent that veil from top to bottom, saying, anybody can come in. You don't need some preacher to go in front of you. You don't need some high priest to go in front of you. If you want to talk to the Father, you talk to him. Come on in. Anybody. That's what he did for us. That's what made it possible, was the blood of Christ. And you can boldly do that. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which we have consecrated for us through the veil, that veil in the holies, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh rent that veil and made it possible for us. Where does he sit? At the right hand of God. I mean, you're going all the way to the top when you talk to him. Do you have confidence to believe that? That's what the word says. I can tell you of a surety it's true. You know, this ministry wasn't built by men. It doesn't go all the way around the world. And you know something? It never begs. Why? It doesn't have to. Why? Because God blesses it. We teach the truth. And it pays great dividends. God allows. God takes care of. God blesses. And having an high priest over the house of God, and that high priest is Christ himself, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with true water. In other words, let the truth cleanse you. You don't have somebody who says, I just got those old sins that just haunt me. Well, why don't you get rid of them? Well, you know, it's so simple, and he paid such an awesome price. Why don't you unload your donkey? Okay. Ease your pack down. Take five. And have him help you. Have him to take that burden. I'm going to tell you, God will never put a burden on you, but man sure likes to load him up. He loads his own donkey up till the poor thing can hardly walk. Get rid of it. Okay. Put the yoke on. That's Christ. And you know, you ask any oxen you want to, and the load's a lot lighter with a yoke than it is to have that leather right around your throat. Okay. Life is a lot better with that yoke Christ on than it is without it. Unload your donkey. Get rid of those thoughts and things and live happy, be happy. You know, well, you mean they're gone? That's what he said. I didn't say it. I'm just reading it. It's gone. And he said, I don't want to hear about it again. That's beautiful, okay? That is assurance. I want you to skip to verse 32. And Verse 32 reads, let's pick it up with 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you cross him, it is when he's made it so easy. But call to remembrance the former days, even the first earth age, if you would, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great pride you got it, okay? And they'll give you trouble, okay? But you can handle it. You know, when you've got the armor of God on, you can fight it, okay? And, you know, for an old combat marine like myself, you know, when somebody says, it's going to be a rough battle, oh, well, let's get it on, okay? Let's get some boom-boom going here, okay? Let's take care of business. And, never fear a spiritual war when God has armed you the way he has. And don't be shocked by what an old marine says about combat, okay? Spiritual war sometimes can be harder than actual conflict, okay? Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproach and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used, okay? In other words, when you take on the real truth, sometimes things can seem like they get rougher. Why? Because you're a different person. But that's okay. Take care of business. For ye have compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You've got to absorb that, beloved. You've got to think on it. What we go through here doesn't even compare with what he's got waiting for you. If you think he's paying you good here, you're mistaken. You're right. But not to compare with what he has there for you. Do you know on God's elect in Ezekiel 44 what he said to let them inherit? He said, don't give them any land. I am their inheritance. And he owns everything. Think about it. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Beloved, you hang on to your confidence. Don't lose it. Hang on, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't ever be a doubter. Don't ever hold back. Don't lose your confidence. That's the self. What you can accomplish, you can cut it. You can do it. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The inheritance, you're going to. It's his promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And that's what he's going to do. You know, it's such a beautiful world, but we have a lot of upset, and Christians do have problems. But he shows us through. He touches us. And he gives us that when we're washed. Washed in what? Well, you could say baptism, but let's just say in prayer. In communicating with him. Don't ever write out some long letter or pick up some beautiful prayer and read it for yourself. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants you to be honest and talk to him. That's what prayer is. How would you feel how do you think some girl would feel if you really loved her but the words just wouldn't come, so you hired somebody to write you a love letter to her and send it to her and she finds out? Okay. Well, God's the same way. He's very intelligent. He wants you to talk to him from the heart. You got trouble? Hey, spill it. Talk to somebody that can handle it, somebody that can make a difference. Our Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, Father. We ask that you bless all these, Father. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father. Ensure, assure that confidence, Father, of can-do type Christians, Father. We thank you for that in advance. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the mark of the beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Because of modern technology, that now we can teach literally millions without ever leaving that spot. So you got to come to the realization, the science. There's transportation coming through the millennium that is awesome. Clara from California, would you please explain who this Elias that you speak of that is coming back, and John would have been, that the people had the people believed him? I know there is an Elijah in the scripture, but I don't seem to be well thought of. Elias is Elijah spoken in the Greek. Elijah being a Hebrew name. Okay, I'll say that one more time. Elias is the pronunciation in the Greek tongue of Elijah in the Hebrew tongue. You can read of Elijah in the last four verses. It's real easy. The last four verses of the Old Testament. Last chapter, fourth chapter of Malachi. You will find there that Elijah, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, shall return. And John came in not as Elijah, but in the spirit of Elijah. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Gary from California, how did God and Satan talk to Adam and Eve when there was no language at that time? What gives you the idea there was no language? They all spoke one language, and it was a perfect language. The multi-languages did not come into being until the Tower of Babel. Babel meaning confusion, because God sent the confusion upon them and then gave them different languages whereby they could not understand each other to plan their own salvation. Philip from Arkansas, please explain 1 Corinthians 14:2. The word tongue, as it is utilized in 14, means a foreign language to you. Meaning, if you speak in a language that is foreign to the people you're speaking to, God knows what you're saying, but those people don't. And what God is teaching is, if you're going to go to a language or an area where the tongue, check out the Greek word tongue. It does not mean language, it means a foreign language to what you were born, one you have to learn, a language different than your people. And if you do not know that language, you better take an interpreter with you so the people can understand when to say amen. That's what it means. Tara from Michigan, could you tell me where in the Bible it says your guardian angel has the face of God at any moment? We covered that today, Matthew 18:10. Okay, Matthew 18:10. Kathy from Indiana, what is the unforgivable sin, and what does it mean when the Antichrist comes? Well, let's translate Antichrist properly, and it cuts out a lot of confusion. Anti in the Greek means instead of. Instead of Christ is the false Christ. So when the false Christ comes instead of Christ, a lot of people are going to be deceived, because they're going to think it is Christ. The unforgivable sin, you will find it written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. It is for one of God's elect, that is to say a chosen vessel who knows better, to disallow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, as it is recorded in Mark chapter 13, not premeditating what they will say, but allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through them. If they disallow that, meaning they totally know better, they know that they're standing before the spurious Messiah, which is to say Satan, and they refuse to let God speak through them, then that's unforgivable. I myself do not believe that is possible. I do not believe it will ever happen. But that is, only God's elect can commit the unpardonable sin. No one else could. Thurman from Wyoming, would you please tell where in the Bible does it say that Easter is a pagan holiday and not a holiday celebrated by Christians? I've been following your teachings for just a few months now. Well, it's real simple. I want you to make a note. I want you to take your Strong's Concordance. I'm going to show it on television in a few days. It's going to come up here in the book of Acts. It's the only place that the word Easter is utilized in the whole Bible. And I'm going to take you to the manuscripts, the Greek manuscripts, to show you what it actually says. The Greek manuscripts is the word patho, which is Passover, okay, not Easter. Easter is Ishtar. Get a college edition Webster's Dictionary and look up the word Easter, and it will tell you that it was a pagan holiday before it became a so-called Christian holiday. You know, nowhere will you find egg rolling, this act of heathenism, fertility in the forest, in the Bible. Why? Because it's heathen. And it is real sad. And also, that it wasn't good enough that they would bring this fertility rite in the spring, right when Passover falls, so that heathen would join the church. You know, if people won't join the church for truth, then you don't want them. Okay. But not only eggs of fertility, but they had to bring in quick like a bunny, the Easter bunny. The fertility act on Christ's resurrection day. It's really kind of sad. Only Satan could arrange for people to be so gullible that they would swallow that when it's obvious right before them it's incorrect. It's really indecent. But, you know, well, what does it hurt for a little child to have a colored basket with little eggs in it? For what it symbolizes, what are you teaching them coming out the gate that's not biblical? Think about it. It's not going to spoil them or anything. And there's nothing wrong with hard-boiled eggs. I love them, okay? But don't mislead your children. Mary from Michigan, I need to know if God will forgive me for all of my sins in the past or if I commit one in the future. If you repent of all your sins in the past, Christ will forgive you for them. But as far as the ones you commit in the future, you had better repent for them. There's a lot of false teaching going on about once saved, always saved. It is true that Christ bears the saving, but you can fall so far away from Christ that you can go to hell. Okay? By not repenting for your sins and staying in the way, and that way is Christ's way. Grace from Florida, would you explain 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17? To explain 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, you have to go back to 13, verse 13. That's where the subject is laid out. How can you understand 16 and 17 if you don't know 13 for what it's talking about? Well, what is it talking about? Verse 13 stipulates, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen as to where the dead are. If you believe Christ resurrected from the grave, and you better, or you're not a Christian, then you better believe all others that sleep in him have resurrected also. They're with him. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. And there is a day coming. There continues on then to say, There's no way that we remain in flesh can perceive them. Why? They're already gone. How can you perceive somebody that's already out of here? You can't, see. But then on the last day, we'll all be changed into this body of air, meeting him in the air. The word in the Greek is aero, which means the very air you breathe, the spiritual body. Pneuma in the Greek is spirit. Ruach in the Hebrew tongue is spirit or wind, air. Okay, we meet him in the spiritual body. Why? At the seventh trump, we're all changed into that spiritual body. There you have the true meaning of it. Teresa from California. What does the Bible say about cremation? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 will tell you in the New Testament the only place cremation is mentioned. Nothing wrong with it. Okay. We all return to dust, these flesh bodies do. But as I've first stated, everyone else, the spirit body instantly goes back to the Father that gave it. Ecclesiastes, rather, chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Carrie from Oklahoma. Thank you and your staff for feeding the flock. You're welcome. Why do people get so offended and downright angry when you share the truth with them? Well, my advice is don't share that much truth with them. Don't cast your pearls before swine. If somebody is not interested, don't give them the truth, okay? That's biblical. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. How do I know you do? You wouldn't be listening if you didn't, okay? But most of all, God loves you for it. He truly does. You know, it makes His day. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, but do you know what's most important? It's this, that you stay in His Word. Hey, every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus is the living.
Rabbit, Arkansas, 72736.